You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have Quentin Henning with me once again, and he's here today to talk about SK Mining. Quentin is a director of the company, and he's also, of course, working with Crescat Capital. He advises the company on SK and any number of other companies that the company obviously invests in. Quentin has is really the guiding light for the company in terms of picking exploration stories, and he's got a good one, I believe, in SK Mining. So I'm really glad he could be here to give us an update on the company. It put out some drill results a couple of weeks ago. It's trading at around $2.04 in U.S. money. I just saw on the screen 162.5 million shares that would give it a market capitalization of around $325 million. Welcome, Quentin, and thank you for joining me again today.
Thank you, Jay. Always a pleasure.
It's always good to have you with me. And I would like to refer to a Crescat Gets Active video that you did along with Tavi Costa and Kevin Smith. You named SK Mining as one of three investments in Crescat's portfolio that you believe has the potential that it may be potentially on the verge of replicating or at least having great success that could possibly rival the financial success that investors in Great Bear enjoyed. And on their Dixie project, they just sold that project to Kinross for $29 a share in Canadian money. I guess it's about a $1.7 billion Canadian dollar sale, a big asset, obviously, a find a couple of years ago. The company was selling for pennies. We were fortunate enough to pick it up in our newsletter, and I'm confident that there's going to be a number of others that you've steered our way for sure, and SK is one of them. But can you give us an update on SK and tell us why you think this has such great potential? Their project, their VMS project in British Columbia.
Certainly, absolutely. Look, it's a pretty easy story to kind of to wrap one's mind around because the company holds nearly 526 square kilometers in all of which is highly prospective for these VMS deposits in the camp, basically the rest of the district that surrounds the old SK Creek mine. SK Creek, of course, is now owned by Skeena. They're advancing the existing resource, which you know is basically the materials that were left behind by Barrick and other new deposits they've found recently through drilling. It's a great story. What Skeena has, about a little over 5 million ounces, if I remember right.
Wow.
And we've got the ground surrounding it, and really we control probably 85% of the prospective belt of this rock that hosts these VMS deposits. Now, we realized that when we started the program last year, we realized that we had to quickly identify where we should go prospect. It's a big property, so we did a program. It's effectively a stream sediment program. We identified through that a number of areas that are shedding very high gold values as well as Pathfinder elements. So we know we have multiple targets across the property just from that work. We also did geophysical work. In particular, we did what's called SkyTEM. It's an airborne electromagnetic survey that's conducted to look for basically buried sulfide occurrences in the ground. And we've identified numerous targets, many, many targets. So again, that data set is telling us we have lots of potential here. Now, we've focused most of our drilling at TV and Jeff, which are two, at this point, more advanced targets or becoming more advanced targets. But it's not to say we don't have a lot of other targets around us. We did test some of the other targets with a first pass drill program this year. We did a little drilling down around C10 and Vermilion. We drilled a hole between TV and Jeff that's showing sulfide mineralization. Hopefully will show us that those two systems are connected. And then we did some boots on the ground work up at a place called Scarlet Ridge, which is also looking like a very prospective VMS system. So where are we at right now? It's still early days, still very early days. We're still learning a lot, but we are very, very confident we have basically a whole district scale potential on our ground.
You know, as I'm looking at the map, the property map, and I think this is taken from the company's website. It was their presentation, corporate presentation, was along July or so. And I'm hearing you talk about some names that I don't see there, but there are a lot of other names. There's Big Red, there's CFJ, there's Red Lightning, I think it's called, and TET, HSQV. There's a whole bunch of others. So I think what I hear you saying is you've come up with a lot of new ones since the middle of last summer, I suppose.
That's correct, yes. And some of those new ones have been identified through the work that I just described. The geophysical work. Like, we have a large inventory of tests, of targets to test. And you know, the other one to not forget about is this Sibululu area, which is on strike with the Skeena resource. It's a little bit further to the south or southwest along the west limb of the SK Anticline. And at Sibululu, there's been quite a bit of drilling in the past that's identified significant deposits down there. We didn't test those this year because we anticipate putting the road in. This road that Seabridge is building that comes across the property will go right by Sibululu. So we're actually waiting for that road to go in so we have a bit better economics around drilling that area. In other words, it'll be road accessible next year. So it's just astounding. Like, to put it in perspective, these precious mineral-rich VMS deposits, you know, these, when Eskay Creek was found back in the late 1980s, 89, I believe it was, it was just an absolute jaw-dropping discovery, hole 109, which, you know, in retrospect, it was drilled more or less sub-parallel to the ore body. It returned, you know, something stupendous, like over 100 meters of over an ounce per ton or something. But these are exceptionally high-grade deposits, yes. And, you know, we're starting to see some of that in the drilling we're doing at TV and Jeff. The drilling, what we've determined is that the current footprint that we've drilled at TV and Jeff, the mineralization is actually hosted in stratigraphy in layers that's lower than the SK Creek deposit. Okay, so we're down in the Hazelton, the lower Hazelton group, and the Betty Creek formation and so forth. But as we make our way up section, we anticipate, we are seeing more and more, and we anticipate finding mineralization all the way up section to that critical SK boundary. But nonetheless, we're finding a stacked VMS system at TV and Jeff. At TV, we've got at least two stockwork zones with an overlying VMS, and they appear very, very extensive. We basically haven't closed them off in any direction. We're starting to see some really nice grades. Some of the massive sulfide that we saw here in release results from about 2 weeks ago was hitting over a kilogram silver per ton. And I think the gold equivalency was like 16 grams gold equivalent per ton.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
beautiful. You know, yeah.
The great grades. Yeah.
I think to get a sense of the scale of this thing, you mentioned that the TV and Jeff, you've had the sense that they could very well be linked together. Give our listeners a sense of the distance between those two. I mean, we're talking about a few kilometers, aren't we?
Yeah, there's about 2 kilometers between those two systems, and we do have one hole now that tagged some nice-looking sulfide stockwork, similar to what we've seen at both TV and Jeff. In an area it's somewhat to the north of TV. It's probably about a third of the way from TV up to Jeff. But there's the geophysical evidence, the SkyTEM data we have in that area shows that not only do those two systems likely connect, but there's a corridor of about 6 kilometers along that side of the east side of the SK Anticline that looks like it's likely hosting sulfide mineralization. So, you know, next year is going to be a big year again for us. We anticipate this year we got a little under 24,000 meters done. We're going to hit it hard next year. We're going to try to get over that 30,000 meter mark, which is what we targeted this year. Hopefully we can get an earlier start and the snow gives us a little bit longer window next season. But lots and lots to follow up here. You know, this thing in terms of footprint, the original SK mine had a length of, say, about a kilometer and a width of about, you know, a few hundred meters, like 300 or 400 meters. So, you know, to see a system down there at TVGF that's maybe 6 kilometers long is really encouraging.
So your last news release that went out, some assays came out. It didn't seem the market was terribly excited about the results, even though, as you pointed out, I think something like 90% of the drill holes showed good mineralization. 35 of 98 holes have been reported, I believe, Quentin. That means there's an awful lot of assays to come yet from last year's drill program. Is that right?
That's right. There's 63 holes in the queue, so we're going to have news well into 2022. We'll probably have another news release sometime in early to mid-January. And then I would expect the entirety of all of the assays to be back, say, hopefully by March for sure. But, you know, it's just a little bit of an exercise in patience anymore with the labs. But things are improving. I think we're seeing the lab, you know, backlog kind of clear out. But, yeah, it's still funny because we've been trying to work with the lab to kind of, you know, shuffle samples around, and they have to literally dig through piles and piles of samples in the yard to figure out where samples are at times. Yeah. So I know a backlog still.
Yeah. I'm wondering, so will we be hearing something about your drill program next year, and do you have to wait for all those assays or most of those assays to be in to form your drill program next year, or how does that work?
Yeah, most of the program designed. We know where the mineralization is and the holes have been drilled. You know, assays are important. We'll wait for all the assays to finalize the program. But I would say by February or March of next year, we'll be presenting the path forward as far as drilling, where we think this system's going, and telling people what we're going to do starting in June.
All right. So I guess there's going to be a lot of drill information coming out, a lot of things to keep your eyes on. Then by June, you figure June, you'll start your next program.
That's the aim. Yeah, we're going to try to get started a little bit earlier than we did this year. Mm-hmm. We recognize that there are certain areas which are lower in elevation, probably more accessible, that we can get to and get going. And then we'll sequence it and do some of the higher elevation targets, you know, by late July or so when the snow's melted. But we do have a pretty good inventory of targets to test, you know, including that Scarlet Ridge area. I think that's a low-hanging fruit, an easy one to get to.
Very good. Well, we'll certainly be looking forward to it. And the company's well-funded to take us how far?
It is. Look, right now I believe the company has on the order of $5 or $6 million. It's got some more bills to pay, but we should be in good shape. We've also got a lot of warrants coming in next year, I believe some in May or June, and then another tranche in August. We anticipate that covering a lot of the costs of this drill program. We also have, as you know, like we've got a package of warrants in the hands of Eric Sprott. We did a transaction with him earlier this year, so those warrants might even come into play. But we're in reasonably good shape. We're not worried too much about money right now.
Okay, well, I'll have to leave it go at that. Quentin, thank you so much for your time again and for explaining the program. SK Creek, a very exciting story. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, folks, we do have to go now, but we're going to go to break. But James Turk is going to be with me to talk about his latest book. And I think, you know, the current conditions of the markets, the gold markets, and also the connection between honest money and liberty. A novel concept these days, it seems, but it is so important, and he'll be back. He'll be with us right after the break to explain why it's so important. Don't go away.
Follow
follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Lion Wine Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.